Hello and welcome to Bail Me Out. This is episode 4 of our new series back, and it is the long promised UCL review. I've been saying it now for the last 3 episodes, but it's finally come to fruition. We are now going to be running through everything that's been happening with the UCL up to the quarterfinals, which we're going to be previewing. And then, fortunately, because of the way this tournament's fallen, we can look at who we think will be going through to the semi finals, facing off, and maybe even predicting who will be reaching the final. I'm Jeremy. I'm joined with a returning panel for the first time of this new series. With Callum, Latif and Joe. Guys, we're going to be starting off then by, like I said, we're going to be looking at the quarterfinal matchups that we've got. We've got a bit of information as well about how the teams have done and their run up to this stage, their routes to this point, and any sort of interesting bits that we might want to probably look at. So the first quarterfinal we're going to look at is Tottenham Hotspur versus Manchester City. It's been labelled as the first one of the ones to be occurring. Obviously, it's happening in 2 different blocks. We'll probably explain that a little bit more when we get into the finite details if we need to. But yeah, looking at this game, Spurs' route to this stage, they were second in Group B behind Barcelona, just narrowly beating Inter Milan, who finished third. And their last 16 was a pretty comfortable cruise by the end of it. More comfortable than I was expecting, and I think some people were, where they beat Dortmund 3-0 at Wembley and then beat them 1-0 at Signal Iduna. By contrast, guys, City, they finished top of their group in Group F with Lyon coming in second. They comfortably walked to this stage, but after a bit of a nervy first leg where it was 3-2 against Schalke before demolishing them 7-0. So overall, guys, this is... A lot of people are saying City are favourites for this. Spurs, though, have faced tougher opposition up until this point than City overall, but City is still the favourites. What are your guys' thoughts on it for this clash? And we'll just sort of give a bit of discussion and thoughts on each sort of round as we go through it. So let's start off then with Spurs and City.
Well, Spurs have been almost completely written off, I think, by most people, but I think I'm right in saying they're at their new stadium, which has been long in the making. But before they went to Wembley, they actually got unbeaten at home in the league in their stadium. So I think they could have a really good, solid first leg at home because they are quality when they play at home. They obviously have quality players, we know. And then they've just got up. Maybe if they get a win, they could hold it out at the Etihad. So I think it's going to be a lot closer than people say. But I would give City just the edge because they do have that quality and they haven't slipped up really at all against the big teams this season.
I think City are favourites for the whole Champions League, if I'm not wrong, by the betting odds. I wouldn't say that is necessarily the truth, but they seem to have the stronger squad. They have the better players, obviously the better manager, and all those sort of pieces put together. They've also at home in the second leg, which will play a large part. We don't know yet. I think getting to the quarterfinals. City struggled a bit against Lyon, particularly, a team who plays some good football. We know that Tottenham plays some good football, play a sort of similar style to Lyon, sort of 4-2-3-1-ish type system. And even though City do get the better of Tottenham in the league, it could be the case that in the Champions League they could struggle, as they have done in the past. In Europe, they've struggled because they don't have like the European pedigree. Having said that, Tottenham also don't have it, but it could be the case where the pressure's off Tottenham, it's all on City, and much like last year against Liverpool, they could crumble under pressure.
I think for me, it's like moving into a new stadium, it's always where you never really get that home field advantage until you're used to it, because when you first move in, it's still new to you as well. So it's an unfamiliar experience for everyone. So it takes a bit of that way, but then it's also... It just feels like this one we have the best idea of the matchup because we've seen them in the league twice. We know what the two teams are. Lyon gave City trouble, yeah, but their midfield is miles better than Spurs, I reckon. If it's particularly if we're talking like at full strength, Ali, I'm not sure how healthy Ali is, which makes a difference, but it feels like this is the most cut and dry one because we know the two sides. We know how they match up.
I think Spurs shouldn't play Harry Kane. I think they'd do much better if they played Son up front and they tried to use that pace to get in behind the ball.
That's just almost pure counter attack.
Yeah, like on paper, because they're not going to out pass them, use the ball better than City are. City would be better, much better if City had all of the possession and then they played on a break, pretty much like Liverpool, what used to do against City, not so much this season.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because I was thinking the it's quite funny, actually, the fact how well they were doing under Son, and as soon as Harry Kane comes back, they hit a bit of a rough patch for them, say the least. But one other interesting point which has been thrown up about this, just quickly, the games, obviously, between Spurs and City, the Champions League games, are on the 9th of April and the 17th of April, and then 3 days later, they're playing each other again on the 20th of April in the Premier League. Now, that could be possibly a deciding factor for
it. It's one of these things where whenever you get teams playing each other that many times in quick succession, there's all the like little counters to the counters to the counters that they do, because they're tactically and personnel-wise, because they're playing each other so quickly, that process gets accelerated, so they actually just make a bunch of adjustments.
But this could bring in so much...
Yeah, so, it's, so that makes it more interesting, because you've got that three times in a row, and then it's also City will be trying for the Premier League, where Spurs don't really have anything to play for.
I think Pochettino is tactically more astute than Guardiola. I don't think Guardiola is really going to change much, whereas I think Pochettino will learn quite a bit from the first leg and completely adapt, whereas Guardiola, because there's all the pressure on him, will play exactly the same way they have done. So if Pochettino can outfox him, which I think he might be able to, I think I really am giving Spurs a lot more of a chance than City, just because every time City get to this stage, granted it, this is the third time or something, they've always played terrible, pretty much. I mean, against Real Madrid and against Liverpool, they were terrible in both legs, pretty much.
It feels like it's ripe for Pep overthinking things tactically, where he does... He outthinks himself and plays someone weird in some weird position, and then it goes completely terribly. It feels... We're playing three times in, like, a couple of weeks. It feels ripe for him to do that.
Do we think, then, in one of these three matches that he... that City could be turned over by Spurs, then, when we're looking at it... Hopefully the Premier League one. But do we think that there is the chance, guys, that very much, is, like we've been saying, you know, Pep is able, like you said, to alter his tactics sometimes each time to sort of take notes on what happened in each game, whilst do we think that Pep might... Because this is the thing, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, when push comes to shove, which will Guardiola go for? Will he go for the Champions League or will he go for the Premier League? This is very much, you know, this game, this sort of run of the 17th to 20th could be where he has to... almost in his mind, make up that mind, depending on what happens in the first leg.
I think that what he'll do is not concede, but he won't... I think Tottenham will win the first leg of the Champions League. And I think there was a situation 10 or so years ago where Arsenal played Liverpool in the Champions League quarter-final, then in the league, then in the quarter-final. I think I'm right in saying that.
Yeah, you are.
Sure. And in the league game, they had none of the 11 players from each team played in all three games, and particularly in the league game, it was a completely changed side, apart from maybe the goalkeeper and maybe one centre back or something like that. So I get the feeling that it will be along a similar sort of similar lines to that, which is a completely changed team. And if that's the case, then City obviously have the deeper squad, and they will probably overturn Tottenham, even if they do go down in the first leg.
Yeah, it feels like one of these things where Spurs' chances are kind of proportional to how much Moussa Sissoko or Victor Wanyama play in a lot of ways, because they have been the weak links in midfield. So if those two play in midfield together, the Silvers could just take over and take it away, take the tie away.
I think politically, Guardiola pretty much is forced from upstairs to go for the Champions League. And I think Spurs, if they had anything about them, would also be going for the Champions League as well, because their race for the top for the title's over. Maybe a race for the top four, but what's the point in the top four if you're not trying at the quarter-final stage? And so I think we'll see some really good ties on the 9th and the 17th, but I imagine the one on the 20th is going to be a bit slow, and everyone's not really going to care about it.
You mentioned upstairs, I think Daniel Levy will tell Pochettino to focus on the league and get
that is true though.
Because it's so important financially, and they look like they might be getting dragged into a fight.
It's a real brain versus heart situation for Spurs, because I think their supporters, maybe in their heart of hearts, they'd love to go
people
for the
like winning stuff, just on a fairly elementary level.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it would. We'll come on to obviously the potential semi-final matchups in a bit, but like it could set up a real, if Spurs are able to defeat City, it could set up a really, really interesting semi-final clash between either Ajax or Juventus, which, you know, given how the Allegri-Pochettino battle went last season, which is one of probably the ties of the round, I'd say, when it was very much a case of, you know, one manager got the best of the other in one leg and then the other reversed it. It was really an interesting clash. So that could be something to bear in mind. I'm going to just ask you guys then round so we can sort of, in a way, almost map out what we think the routes can be to the final in Madrid. Quite funny that the host team will not have their host team in despite all the hype that was being given. Just very quickly again, guys, going round, do we think it's going to be Spurs or City that make it through?
I'll go for City, but I'm really on the fence. I genuinely think this could go to like extra time.
Yeah, I'd say City, just they're better.
I think Chiellini said it best. It's the history of the Tottenham. I think I'm going to go for City.
I think, I mean, I'll throw mine in and go. I agree with City, but I agree with you. I think it could be a really, really tight one. So that would be City through then into the semi-finals. Moving on then to the second quarter-final. That's happening on the same, I think it's happening on the same night possibly.
Yes,
for
it is, yeah.
It's Liverpool versus Porto. Liverpool, weird coefficient that sort of happened with all this. Each of the rounds has someone that finished second in their group versus someone that finished first in their group. I mean, that's just something which I spotted when I was writing this out. Liverpool, they finished second in Group C, obviously behind PSG, PSG beating Napoli and obviously Red Star Belgrade. And then in the last 16, they beat Bayern 0-0, obviously at home before beating them 3-1 at the Allianz. Porto have had a different run, we'll put it that way. They came top of Group D, which comprised of Schalke in second, Galatasaray in third, and Lokomotiv Moscow in fourth, before beating Roma, losing the first leg 2-1, before turning it around in the second leg at home 3-1 themselves. So looking at that, guys, just from the run which we've had, looking at the run which has happened, this is Porto's almost first real test they've had. They haven't had too much of a taxing thing. I'm probably being a bit harsh on Roma.
Yeah, Roma gave them a very good battle. They needed extra time and to have VAR give one penalty and not give another to get to this stage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit lucky getting here. But they still are here.
Yeah.
I think that was because they wasted quite a few chances. Because definitely the first half.
Dzeko could have killed it twice. Dzeko could have killed the game twice, but didn't.
It was very close. It could have gone either way. But I don't think it's going to be another 5-0. I would be really shocked. Because I think Porto have actually come on this season. They've got a couple of better players than they did last season. I think when I watched the Roma game, they had Marega was ridiculously good in that game. I'm very scared about him. They have Tiquinho up front with them as well. And I think those two players could do Liverpool some damage when Liverpool will be focusing on other things, I'd imagine. And also, as I think Jez put very well when he accidentally said semi-final, so quite a lot of Liverpool fans already think we're in the semi-final. So
yeah, a little they could be getting ahead of themselves.
Yeah, getting ahead of Porto are not a bad side. They have a lot of quality. And Liverpool are prone to doing stupid things.
Yeah, especially when the pressure mounts.
Yeah. I can see Liverpool getting through, but it won't be as... I definitely think Liverpool get through, but it won't be as easy as people will think. Yeah, they definitely could... I don't see them winning by more than one at the Dragao at all, but it's just...
Porto will take a...
They could... I can see it. I think it'll probably be a 1-0, 0-0, or 0-1, essentially, in Porto, but then... Porto's a weird one because they've got a couple of guys leaving or heavily linked with moves away. I mean, they've got a centre-back who's going to Madrid in the summer.
Militao,
yeah. And then Telles, there's the talk all the time about him.
We forgot to mention Militao in our blooming Real Madrid breakdown.
Yeah, well, that happened. I think that happened in the meantime.
Yeah, but, I know. Yeah. I remembered that afterwards. I was like, we should have probably thrown him as an option. That is a point. I mean, possibly overconfidence of Liverpool. But from Liverpool's point of view, you know, they have already beaten every single team they have come up against in this competition. Granted, they have then lost a few of them. You know, they have beaten PSG, Bayern Munich and Napoli. All three are out.
I would like to say about Bayern Munich, though, is that they are awful.
Yeah.
They
had a shocker.
They were, oh my gosh, Lewandowski's fallen off a cliff in the past year or so.
After that game, did they win 6-0 or something?
They bounced back. Yeah. I'm
not sure they took their anger out on this poor team.
We might be like Werner Bremen.
I'm not sure who it was, yeah.
Liverpool dispatched them in a very professional manner. And if they play half as good as they played against Bayern, I'm sure they'll
Bayern know it's a rebuilding year for them this year, which is something. But
that's the thing. Porto at least have some players with some pace. I mean, everyone in the Bayern Munich team looked about 50 years old. They just couldn't move. Whereas we know Porto as I said, they have a bit of pace. They can counter attack, but they are also in a title race. So I did mention Liverpool were as well, but they are as well. The 63 points Benfica, they are also on 63 points. So will their attentions be on the Portuguese league against one of their big rivals to win the title?
Particularly if they don't think they can take this tie full stop, they might sort of be like, okay, we'll try and save some face in the first leg and then try and win the second. But they could do that, they might not. But then it's also like with Liverpool, they're still the weak link defensively on the other centre back that is always a worry.
Is Joe Gomez back for?
Not yet, I don't think. And also the other worry for Liverpool is that Robertson will be out for the first leg.
Yeah.
I think the main issue that Liverpool have, especially if Porto sit off them, is that creativity, trying to find that pass.
Yeah, they're not
creativity in midfield in particular.
They're not going to break him down a set.
Well,
team,
I hope definitely. Klopp doesn't go with the Fabinho, Wijnaldum, like Henderson trio, because that's just...
Or Milner instead of Fabinho, is it?
That he goes yeah, that's for. What he did yeah, with,
very,
the, with,
very
the,
dreary,
with the ba- yeah. with the second leg of Bayern match. But it's just like, yeah, Fabinho will probably have a good match because they're not going to sit on him in the same way that other teams have. Yeah. But it's just,
I worry for Porto in terms of they don't have an out-and-out goal scorer, really. They have a few players on like 10 goals, 8 goals, like 9 goals, stuff like that. But like no one that's going to, I think, take the game by the scruff of the neck. And if just one of Mane... Salah or Firmino turn up, then it could be game over Porto already. That is the worry for them, I'd say.
I mean, if Salah turns up, that would be nice. He's doing well turned up in ages.
Oxlade-Chamberlain will be back as well, so
that's interesting.
That could be really crucial if Liverpool get a midfielder that can drive at that Porto midfielder, make them a bit scared. But Porto, I keep going back and forth because I was looking at the Porto team. They have a lot of experience. You know, they have Casillas, they have Pepe. They have Maxi Pereira on the bench, and they have Hector Herrera in the middle. They have players that have been through the last two not really huge Champions League runs, but Pepe and Casillas especially. Yeah. They know what it means to be up against a really good Liverpool team.
But they are prone to mistakes.
Yeah,
that's the only issue.
Yeah, they are
getting like, in age.
Yeah, those players aren't where they got that experience for a reason. Is that sort of thing there where it's like?
But I'm saying they can guide the other player. They can almost say, look. When a Porto team might be getting slightly panicky or doing, they can calm it down. Say, I'm not a footballer. I don't know what they're going to say to them, but say something of inspiration.
Well, you say that, but Liverpool do have the experience. They got to the final last year. They've done it.
They're going to stay calm. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the point that you guys have both raised there with the point of experience. Obviously, it gets banned around a lot this way, but the idea of it is crucial because if, for example, say in the first leg, Porto did take the lead in it, you can imagine some of the players that haven't been in that scenario might get a little bit almost jittery. You would have Casillas and Pepe to go, look, just calm it down. We'll see this out and we'll leave this leg with one goal up, which hopefully doesn't happen. So generally looking at it then, obviously, same as last time, guys, I'll ask around sort of what your thoughts are. I know the overriding story that everyone is saying is that Liverpool are going to pretty comfortably walk it. It was probably the best draw Liverpool could have had. But like Joe and Latif and Cam, like you guys have all pointed out, Porto should not be completely written off. They could cause what would be quite a famous upset for this round, and hopefully it doesn't happen. But I'll go around and ask you guys who you think is going to go through. Joe, I'll start off with you.
I think Liverpool are going to go through, but we just saw the Liverpool-Fulham game. Fulham almost got a draw, and they are absolutely shocking. Whereas these Porto are half decent.
Two Liverpool fans, two Fulham fans.
We needed Sergi Rico, absolute nightmare to get 3 points for that game. Never know, but I'm going to be true to my club and say Liverpool are going to get through.
I think it's right to it. Liverpool get through fairly comfortably, but not as comfortably as people think. So it's where they'll get through by like a couple of, like probably one or two goal margin, as opposed to like a 3 or 4 that some might think over the two legs.
Yep, I agree. I think Liverpool go through, but it's going to be tough. It's not going to be a walk in the park.
Yeah, I think I'll round out with fourth voice on the same thing. I know Liverpool go through, but it won't be as easy as some fans have been making out to be. Moving on then to the third quarter final. This is probably I'm really looking forward to watching these games, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
This is Ajax versus Juventus. Ajax came second in Group E behind Bayern Munich and ahead of Benfica and AEK Athens. And, of course, the last 16 was the one which sparks our podcast that we did last week, which was their round against Real Madrid. They lost the first leg 2-1, but then they bounced back at the Bernabeu with a stunning 4-1 victory. Absolutely fantastic from them. They're up against Juventus, who came top of Group H ahead of Manchester United, Valencia and Young Boys. And then they too had their own big comeback that has been sometimes overlooked because of the collapse of Real Madrid and sort of the Manchester United escapades in Paris have all overshadowed this. But they came from being 2-0 down against Atletico to them winning at home 3-0 thanks to a Cristiano Ronaldo hat-trick. Guys, Ajax have been labelled by quite a few people as maybe the dark horse of the competition, the one which people are sort of, you know, especially the way they've been playing recently, they are a very exciting team to watch, whilst Juventus are arguably the second favourites after Man City, but that is partly driven by the Cristiano Ronaldo factor. What do we think on this tie, guys? I'm certainly looking forward to watching these matches.
I'm fairly confident Ajax will win, just because they just outplayed Real Madrid over both legs. Juve only got through because Atleti only came to park the bus but forget to put the handbrake on. If they hadn't done that, they would have gone out. So it's always true. Just with that, and they both be able to be at their best because they both just will win the league, so they can just calibrate their squad however they want to, and Ajax are better, just on a fairly simple
you
level.
You say Ajax are better, but Juventus have the most clutch player in the history of the championship. Probably world football, let's be real.
Well, no, Messi's the most everything of everything.
No, I'm talking about, I agree, Messi's the better player, but in terms of being clutch in the big moments.
Yeah, because of
Cristiano Ronaldo.
But he's the reason he has to be clutch.
What do you mean? What?
Messi doesn't have to be clutch because he's so good that the tie's out of hand by that point. Like, Leon put a scare into them, so he just created one and scored another. Whereas Ronaldo, because his teams are all about him scoring, if he doesn't do that, he has to score.
Okay. I kind of get what you're trying to say.
I understand. I think it's basically that Messi's team. So Messi can work well in supporting his team, whilst Ronaldo's team has to support Ronaldo. Right.
Yeah, I do.
Messi can take the tie out of the hands before it gets to clock.
I think Ajax is severely overrated. After Real Madrid were absolutely terrible. Honestly, I genuinely think Huddersfield would probably come out with the same result. It was absolutely shocking. Varane should be ashamed of himself. He was terrible. I can't even remember the centre-back who was playing next to him.
Nacho?
Absolutely horrific game from him. Yeah. Modric was terrible. They were all absolutely shocking.
I mean, we got rid of most of them last week.
Yeah, they should be absolutely...
They got made to look terrible because Frankie Jong is the next big thing. He's going to Barca for a reason. Matthijs de Ligt is going to Barca for a reason.
And they have two solid players.
And they've got David Neres. They've got Dusan Tadic. He's not going to have the game of his life again, but he's
Dusan Tadic got a 10 out of 10 from
Pretty sure. Yeah, he's not going to
get. I don't think he's going to get another 10 out of 10.
Oh, yeah.
He's
be baffled.
But he's not going to get another 10 out of 10. Or David Neres. Or
miles better.
Frankie de Jong. Like,
yeah.
They're not even winning their league. Winning their league.
He's a great player.
Ajax. They're not winning their league. They're 5 points off. PSV are ahead. Yes, they did all right against a Bayern Munich. They did all right in the group stage against a terrible Bayern Munich side. They did all right.
And they didn't even win that group.
No, they didn't. They got three draws, I think, in that group, or four draws or something. They didn't lose, to be fair. I don't think it'll be a walkover by Juventus. But Ajax, they have some good players. I agree. But on the whole, they're fine. I mean, but Juventus have all the experience. They have better players. They play better as a team, and they have Ronaldo. I mean, all
they have great squad depth as well.
Ajax's midfield is better.
They have Frankie de Jong
and Donny van der Beek and
Van der Beek
isn't better than Matuidi or Miralem Pjanic.
It's okay. So like how they play as the system, and it's the whole thing where they are more motivated than Juventus. Juventus are in a weird spot because they're having to do everything they can to make sure Ronaldo is inaccessible to people. They're having so that he can't report his legal case. They're having to delete sewn up.
Oh God!
Yeah. It's all they have. A weird. Allegri might be leaving. Allegri's not certain. Whereas Ajax are coming into this where they know it's their last ride. They're giving it 110% in this Champions League run.
Yeah, we thought that was Monaco, and then they went crashing out of the semi.
Well,
they
Monaco's
did well against
two,
City. And then,
Juventus, actually.
Yeah, and then they went crashing out. Like they
weren't doing that last run type deal. That was...
Okay.
Different, like.
Throwing something in here, because this is actually, we're getting a good amount of debate on this. Juventus at the weekend lost their first game in Serie A, and it was the first game they dropped Ronaldo for, and this was against Genoa, they lost it. There's a funny story as well about that, which I'm sure will be coming up on Whistleblowers at some point. But that's one thing that's been pointed out, that perhaps if you take Ronaldo out of the system, because like you're saying, Cam, the Juventus are starting to gear themselves so much towards just get the ball to Ronaldo and hopefully he'll score, that when you're missing Ronaldo, it's a bit harsh. But when your backup striker is Paulo Dybala, you're not doing too badly there.
They did play a terrible team. Yeah. Not a terrible team, but they didn't play their strongest team in the slightest. Like, they played Martin Caceres and Daniele Rugani.
I forgot they'd re-signed him.
Yeah, it was
awful. It's just they're beginning to irritate their other players with Ronaldo being so egotistical. They are beginning to wind their other players up, like Dybala's potentially wanting out. And so on, which
put it this way, if they win the treble, I don't think it will make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, if they win the treble with the Champions League, or could they win the quadruple or not?
They got knocked out by Atlanta or someone.
It was something very rogue.
Yeah, it was someone very weird.
If they win the treble, Champions League, and the cup, then no one's going to complain, and Ronaldo can probably move on with his life. He could move on to
They had to move their summer warm-up tournament next year so that they don't go to the US. So
that's all.
Yeah, that's true.
He won't be able to get on with his life.
He owns the club at this point, let's be honest.
Yeah, but they're literally policing Turin are working to avoid anyone being able to get to him. It is very shady.
That was the whole point of him, was that you bought him just to play as a brand. But anyway, at the Amsterdam Arena, I think that's what it's called anyway.
Johan Cruyff now. Yeah, formerly known as the Amsterdam Arena.
Well, I'm just not with the times. anyway, whatever. I think they probably I think they could get a draw. They might sneak a win. I just don't see them coming to. Now, one of them's the Allianz Stadium, one of them's the Allianz Arena. It's one of
the stadium, I think.
Lovely.
Turin. Just say Turin.
At the Allianz something, I think they are. They will probably smash them like 3-0.
I agree with that. You can't look away from Juventus' home form. It is pretty impressive at times. I mean,
they got made to look good by Atletico made them look good by just showing up to park the bus, but then forgetting to park the bus.
But like you say that, but like there were a couple of them were just crosses in, and then Ronaldo uses his power, his strength, and his finish. Like that header was ridiculous.
Yeah, but they were up to get a bunch of uncontested crosses in because Atletico were just packing me in the box, but not paying who was in the box.
Can we discuss that? Like Diego Simeone parking the bus. Sorry. Yeah. What are people's thoughts on that?
The problem is he parked the bus, but he just. Parked the bus to park the bike. As I was saying before, parked the bus but left handbrake off. So they parked the bus but they. Once they actually conceded, they were like, oh my god, we conceded.
He's Mourinho, but over there, he just parks the bus, he's really mouthy. I think Atletico are going. I know this isn't strictly on topic, but Atletico are going through this period where they're trying to decide what club they want. Do they want to be a Simeone club or do they want to be a club than me? Play expansive attacking football where the players actually want to go and play and attack the other team, just because Simeone has himself admitted in 100-point league, which La Liga isn't this season, but it often is, they're never, ever going to win.
You need to win too many games for that negative style to work. I mean, he's more of a, you know, Porto early Chelsea Mourinho than, you know, 2019 Mourinho, which is something, but...
Yeah, 2019 Mourinho's just still unemployed.
Yeah, he's unemployed for a reason.
Yeah, he hasn't got a job yet. Okay, guys, let's just go on to the prediction for it. I think it's safe to say there are arguments for both sides for it, but we'll just see who you guys think is going to go through. Joe, I have a theme. I know which way you're leaning.
Going towards Juventus, but they might lose away. They're going to smash them at home.
Okay.
Ajax, they're going to win at home and they might draw away, but...
Fair enough. Latif?
Juventus, look at the Ronaldo factor.
Yeah, I think I am going to side with Juventus, but I agree it could be a lot tighter than I think people are going. I think Ajax will give themselves a good showing and...
Yeah, I want Ajax to go through. Yeah. I just don't think
exactly.
I mean, it's more... And part of me does also want Juve to go out because of the fact that the time when it looks most likely they get rid of Buffon. Anyway, moving on then to the final quarter final that we've got. It is Manchester United versus Barcelona. A lot of stuff that's been bandied around about this recently, most really regarding ticket prices, but you can find more information about that on View from the Stands, actually. That'll be talking about that tomorrow, I think. just looking at Joe. I'm going
we may be if we have time.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it at some point.
I think we might discuss it on the 3 o'clock show. Maybe.
Yeah, it'll be one of the two shows we're going to be discussing on. But Manchester United versus Barcelona. Manchester United's route so far, they were second, as all the teams I've been starting off with have been second. They were second in Group H behind Juventus, ahead of Valencia. And ahead of Young Boys. And then last 16, everyone knows the story. They lost the first leg 2-0 to PSG, but then won in Paris 3-1 due to a Kimpembe handball. And
Kimpembe handball, Kera, brain fart, and Buffon mistakes.
So. Buffon mistakes. Yeah, it was a collection, a comedy of errors from PSG, the ultimate bottlers in Europe. And then for Barcelona, they topped Group B with Spurs in second, Inter in third, and PSG in fourth. And the last 16, they played Lyon. It was 0-0 before they then beat them 5-1 in Barcelona. They are still unbeaten, Barcelona, in the UCL at this point. They've only conceded 6 goals at this point. Which was just something I want to point out. I think they are possibly the only team left in the competition that is still unbeaten, which is not a bad achievement to have on your resume. I think they are.
City lost to Lyon.
It's just like Spurs. The only one official Spurs must have lost a game at some point.
Barcelona.
Yeah, they lost.
Second in the group. So yeah.
Barcelona are the only team that's left unbeaten in this. Guys. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff which happened with the Manchester United PSG thing, which we could quickly touch on. But the main thing that I think the headlines are spinning most is that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is taking Manchester United back to Barcelona, and all the stuff of will he recapture the spirit of Manchester United? I'm not even going to finish that sentence.
Of course he will. Manchester United will win this tie, in my opinion, because they just seem like they want it more. And I know that people keep bringing up, you know, Messi's the greatest player of all time, and I'm not disputing that, but it just seems like this Barcelona team is aging horribly, and a lot of the pieces are missing, and I don't think that they can get to the Champions League final.
I mean, they've only got a couple of pieces that are aging, really.
I'm sorry.
Busquets and Piqué. Busquets,
Suarez
still has it.
I don't think so.
If you see it, that goal against Betis, he still has it. Like,
No. Oh, yeah, that's very true.
That's the thing. Like, it's always where it's, and particularly with him, where it's a case he might not have it every game, but he'll have it when it matters more, or like every so often, which they can then sort of try and time out a bit with having a decent lead in the league. But it's just, they're the best team in the world. They do want it. Like, against Lyon, as soon as Lyon threatened, Messi was just like, no, we're winning.
Did you guys see that speech that Messi did? I think it was at the weekend. It was after whoever Barcelona were playing, and basically, for some reason, someone gave Messi a microphone. He did some speech to the Camp Nou saying that basically they were going to go all out on trying to get the Champions League back this year. Don't know if anyone saw it. It was just a random thing that popped up on my timeline the other day.
Well, it was always going to say that. Well, I mean, no one's ever gone, you know, we're going to bin off the Champions League for the league.
Well, it does get true.
Best case, like, you could say nothing.
Yeah. It was just very odd that he did that, which was
the same attention. Sort of thing where it's like, well, it's a good ice, where it's like the teams that seem really motivated, I'm always going, they could go to one. Then, again, it's just where Man United got through in a pretty jammy way, having 5 shots, which were basically all involved in those 3 goals. Barcelona are the best team in the world.
Man United fans are extremely vocal, which suggests, I don't know, the players obviously will be up for it, but it's mainly the fans that are up for it, I think. This stupid narrative of apparently history. Apparently when you play at Barcelona, that means you're going to manage an incredible team at Barcelona. I think that phrase should be banned, like that night in Barcelona. Any reference to Solskjaer in Barcelona, they're not linked in any way. He played at the stadium before against a different team in a different time.
It wasn't even against Barcelona.
No, it was against Bayern. It's so stupid.
Well, it's just worth it.
I'm sorry. He's not a good enough manager either. He's basically a Ferguson puppet. I'm probably getting a bit off topic.
And breathe, Joe.
Go to things for me that give me any moment of pause is basically, is this going to be a team to run from Solskjaer to get the job, which is already, he's already basically got the job, but also, is it like Real Madrid last year, where no matter how bad they were, somehow it would go right that they would win?
Well, it was sort of cannon off someone's shin and
So it's just like, with that PSG game, I can't get that thought out of my mind. Yeah.
Well, this is one thing which really annoyed me. You know the Kimpembe one, which it was a handball, but then they play Wolves, when was it? It was a couple of days later. Yeah. And it was almost a mirror image. It was Dallow again. Yeah. Dallow takes a shot, and I can't remember who it was. It was a Wolves either defender, it might have been Jota or something like that.
It was Cody, I think. think, or was it Doherty?
Go on, Cody. It was one of the Wolves defenders gets in the way, almost the exact mirror image of what happened with Kimpembe, and they don't give it. And the United fans just go ballistic. And I'm sorry, I was sat there laughing my... I was just laughing at absolute pieces in that. It was brilliant to see. But that's one of those things. It is those fine margins, like you're saying, Cam, that just have sort of crept United.
They keep going their way.
Yeah. You surely must think that their luck must run out. But on this tie, guys, when we're looking at it, it's over two legs. The first leg, I believe, is in Manchester.
The first leg's in Manchester because it was a case of, like, with them in the City, they had regulations that mean they couldn't play in Manchester on the same night. So... Mm. Because whatever the rule was with it, basically, yeah, City got first leg away, United first leg at home.
Mm. And given how vocal Man United fans have been recently, they are certainly going to be up for it, all of them down
in
Surrey.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they'll all be up for it, but that doesn't make your players any better, does it? They don't have good enough players.
I know they don't have good enough players, but...
But it's magic.
It's still
working.
It's magic.
When you watch that game, get a shot every time they say, "Solskjaer, I bet Solskjaer wants to put himself on." Yeah. How many times have they said that in the games?
Oh my goodness.
He was a good player. Doesn't mean he's a great manager. I don't think tactically he's astute enough. He's not going to be able to get
Mike Phelan seems to be. Yeah, I mean,
He's done pretty well, but it's basically by doing the obvious thing that we were saying the whole time. Basically, set him up to attack with that attack or counter attack, depending on the opposition, with that pace. But it's the obvious thing, but it's still the right thing.
Someone to actually do it.
Yeah, you have to do it.
They are going to get battered in this leg, and then their fans can quieten down, and I'll be a happy bunny again.
They can drown their sorrows on the trains back to Houston.
I really hope that Jesse Lingard scores at the new camp and does a new dance. come out. I really hope. I love Jesse Lingard. I really do. And I really hope United go for
it. If Man United get lucky goals again at Old Trafford,
Messi will take the game by scruff of the neck.
Barcelona at the new camp have always been ridiculous, and they're going to be ridiculous again, I imagine.
I think if Valverde loses this, he's out.
Yeah, I mean, he's already unpopular, isn't he?
Yeah, so this would be the ultimate death knell for him it could be a bit harsh. We don't know, obviously with these predictions, so we don't know how the games could end up flying, but like if it's one where clearly Barcelona have dominated it and somehow it's cannoned off Chris Smalling's backside into the net, and United ends up somehow running on to play. It'll probably be Liverpool at this rate from our grid. Yeah. He will probably get the sack for that.
That's awfully convenient, by the way. One of Man United, Barcelona, and Liverpool are going to be in the final. I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm not going to raise any conspiracy theories, but it's going to work pretty well for TV companies and UEFA that there's going to be.
With these teams, you're basically guaranteed that regardless. That's the thing.
No, but I think Man City are not pulling as many numbers around the world than Man United, Barcelona.
They will. They have big followings elsewhere, other than Manchester.
But Manchester United, Barcelona, and Liverpool, undisputedly the largest, and Real Madrid, but obviously they're not in it.
The largest
supported group, and I'm just saying it's awfully convenient that one of them is likely to go through against maybe a Juventus or City who do have a decent following as well.
Yeah. Okay. I'm still undecided as to how this is going to go. So, which way do you guys think it's going to go? I'll explain my reasons for being undecided in a minute. But
I think it's Manchester United, isn't it?
just magic.
He'll make it work. They'll make it work. Yeah. They'll play. I don't know. He'll get Herrera and Matic to man mark Messi and take him out of the game, and it will somehow work. Yeah.
Usman
Dembele's out, by the way, and Coutinho is not performing.
Well, yeah, because he's.
Well, you never know. This could be Coutinho's quote unquote audition for Man United.
Yeah. But the thing is, unless magic happens, I reckon it'll be a tightish first leg. The Barca will probably sneak by one, and then the second leg will just be Messi happens, and they win by four.
But Messi doesn't have a great pedigree at the quarterfinals, does he? I mean, I don't think that matters.
He's
been absolutely insane.
Well, no one has a great pedigree at anything until they do. That's the other thing with that. Yeah. No one has a great pedigree until you do.
I think that Man United would be extremely lucky to score more than one goal in this entire tie. But I'm sure they will. I'm sure they'll find a way. As we said, the stars have aligned. Against Spurs, they weren't very good. They won. Against PSG, they weren't very good. They won. Against Liverpool, they weren't very good. They managed to get a draw. Do you see a pattern emerging?
I am going to go with Barcelona. I think purely because of... I think De Gea will probably have one of the best legs he's had. But then you look in Barcelona's goal, and they have got to Stegen, who has been very good on his own.
Should be Germany's number one?
He should have been for like a year.
Yeah, if Joachim Löw didn't have that loyalty to Neuer, he would have been for the World Cup.
Well, if Joachim Löw, sorry, this is completely off topic. If he hadn't said to, Axt,
Müller, Boateng, and Hummels,
if he'd also thrown Neuer in there, I think everyone would be happy about it, apart from the Bayern Munich fan.
Then it might have been a bit obvious that he was just axing a bunch of Bayern guys. So.
give him like three, four.
Four was the tipping point, it would have been a bit obvious.
So I think we're going to, collectively, we've gone for Barcelona, but you never know with United. Annoyingly, they could somehow.
Yeah, my new challenge has gone out the window, hasn't it?
So then, looking at the semi-final lineups that we predicted, however, given our recent predictions in terms of how we got Real Madrid right, this could very much be the exact opposite to happen. We've got Manchester City versus Juventus, and then Liverpool versus Barcelona. Looking at those matchups, guys, to start off with, City, Juve, really, I mean, these are good games that we would be getting to now. These are going to be good, exciting matches. Which way do we think City, Juve would go?
I want City to win because I want an English team to win. And I do think that Pep deserves it after the team that he's built and the philosophy that he's instilled into that team. But Juve, they keep bottling it. And the last time they were in the semis, I think it was under Pellegrini.
Yeah, it was his last season.
Yeah, and they lost to Real Madrid. They just got annihilated by Real Madrid.
Yeah, the burn about their one shot. It was disgusting. Wasn't even on target.
Yeah. It was Jose Mourinho in charge?
No, that was Zidane's first. Yeah. That was okay, Zidane's first season. Because that's when he won his first one in that dire game against Atletico Madrid.
Mm, yeah. It just is going to be Juventus, I think, because City just don't have the pedigree. And I think at this point, you get to the semis. It is one of the cases where in the past sort of, I think it's 15 or 20 years, only Chelsea have won it for the first time, if I'm not wrong.
Yes, I think they're the last first time I can think of.
Before that, I think it was probably Dortmund.
Yeah, and part of it to me is you can't win
it. Porto might have been the last
Porto,
one.
Porto. But part of it to me is that it's the whole thing we're saying with the pedigree, where it's like you can't win it for the first time until someone. You can't have a first time win until someone wins it for the first time. So it's just like.
That's the thing.
Where it's just,
but then the other one, you then got, for example, the other leg, you have 2 5-time winners and a 3-time winner sort of lining up, so you've got a lot of pedigree in that half. Mm.
But I don't think that really matters. I mean, it doesn't really matter that Liverpool won it in the 80s. I don't think that's having all that much.
Well, I mean, they also won it in 05 and 08? 09? Which one was it?
Which one?
The second Milan one.
The second one was 06-07. Yeah. Because then 7-8 was the United Chelsea one.
So that's the thing, like, you can't win it until you. Like, is that what there is?
You can't win it until you won it.
Yeah,
it's great.
Fundamentally, like,
no, I agree.
If there were two teams that never went foul, someone has to win it. Just like, your bottle is until you don't bottle.
But this is the thing, for City, they're getting now to the crunch end of the season. They're going to be having many games where it's going to be must win.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is I think they'll be Juve, in part because they have the depth to rotate, but then also if Juve do win, it's not Ajax, as I would predict. But like, if it's City are better than Juve, and Juve just can't help but feel like they haven't had the strongest run in Europe this season. And Allegri seems unsettled. There's a lot of unsettled people in it.
Hypothetically, then, just for you, Callum, very quickly, if it was
I think City are winning regardless.
Okay, so you think City would be both? Yeah. Okay, so it would be basically whoever would come up against City would be the key thing. Joe?
I'm torn. I think City might win, but I think their depth is severely overrated in terms once they get a Sterling replacement, it's like Mahrez is not doing it at all.
I mean, Bernardo Silva can play.
Bernardo Silva shouldn't play though.
No, he's better.
That was the thing last season when
it's fine. I think severely overrated as well. Obviously, the Fernandinho paradox are going. Like they can't replace him.
It looked different last year when Bernardo Silva was the first guy off the bench as opposed to when he's starting, because he could play forward or
in the mid,
like anywhere across the three or the two. Yeah,
would it be De Bruyne now?
Is De Bruyne fit? Because
that's the thing. De Bruyne's a bit of a question.
They'll get some form of steroid in him.
They might actually, with Boston. Or they could do the revolutionary thing of actually playing Zinchenko in his actual position.
Well, hang on. They've never lost a game that Zinchenko has played at left back. That's a weird fluke. Oh, I don't understand.
Maybe Burton 9, was it 9-0 or something?
9-0, a bit harsh.
I don't think. I just
pull up at some point.
On a slightly tactical note, I don't think that Otamendi or Laporte or whoever's going to play in centre back or Stones, I don't think they're going to be able to deal with the power of Ronaldo. I don't think they're particularly strong centre-backs, not particularly tall as centre-backs.
He's not what he used to be physically, and Laporte is one of the best centre-backs in the world.
I don't think physically he's as good, though.
Sorry, is Mandzukic fit?
Mandzukic,
he played this weekend. Yeah.
He'd be more of a handful than Ronaldo.
No, because I'm thinking in the World Cup we saw, and I hate to bring back this memory, that Walker could not deal with Mandzukic, and if Mandzukic is coming in off that left again behind Walker,
but I mean,
because defending for Walker is a bit of a struggle. So
Laporte-most.
if they do what they did a bit last season, they've done a little bit this season. If they put like Mandzukic as like a left wing target,
that's
man, that could be that could be really really dangerous because Walker won't be able to deal with it.
Mandzukic on the left. Ronaldo up top, maybe
Bernadeschi.
Bernadeschi
had a game of his life. He played so well against Madrid.
And then
really
potentially even Dybala at 10 or Pjanic or one of them.
If they play that team,
they might match City and play three.
I mean, the thing is, like, Bernadeschi is not very good. Honestly,
he has his days, he's really good. Well, he's good, I'd say, in sort of every one in six games.
Who else have they got, though? They've got Cuadrado, Costa.
Depending on where it is, Cuadrado would be the wide right man, I thought.
So, are you going for Juventus then, Joe?
Well, I said City, didn't I? But now I'm like, I don't even know anymore.
I'll throw mine. I'm going to go with Juve. I can just see it being an Allegri, just because the thing is, Pep is, we all see every time on the touchline, he's manic on the touchline, shouting all his left, right and centre, but you don't ever see him make a great big tactical change in a match, whilst Allegri frequently does it on the fly, where he'll drop to a back three.
Well, yeah, I know, but that's entirely because Guardiola's a football philosopher, and he has his way of playing, and he won't change it. And even earlier in the season, when they lost sort of three games in four, whatever it was, he said, no, we're going to execute my plan better.
It's a case of execution as opposed to philosophy. But the other thing with Allegri is, if you're having to make changes mid-match, that means you made the wrong choice to start off with.
Unai Emery makes two changes at half-time because you didn't get the starting 11 right.
So it's like, if you have to make a change mid-stream,
proactivity is better than reactivity in terms of, like, at least they can admit that stuff is going wrong. I think City often, whenever they get onto the pitch, they've already beaten the team. They don't even have to play football. They don't have to play football, whereas against Juventus, they haven't beaten them by the time they get onto the field. They're going to be put under pressure. And as soon as they go 1-0 down, they're going to panic and they're going to have no idea what to do. And they're not playing Swansea anymore, so they can't just run past the team, basically. They might get a bit of luck. But City, apart from maybe the game against Liverpool, which they only just beat us, to be fair, in a game where they had few chances, and every other game that I can think of, nobody's really come out and tried to have a go at them.
Ran his socks off.
But that's the thing. Juve aren't going to come out and go at anyone. That's the thing. The way that it's the best way to beat City is to essentially have that high counter-press, fast-paced going at them, which is the opposite of what Juve want to do.
But I think the issue that Juve have in, and PSG have had it, and Bayern Munich have it, is that they're so far ahead of everyone in the league that they just have to play at 50 to 60%. They don't. And you mentioned City have won before they even stepped on the pitch. Juventus have won before the team lineup starts. Exactly.
Yeah.
The lineups have been announced.
Except for if you win all those, they're not winning all those games by playing on the counter, are they? They're obviously getting majority possession.
But it's a completely different way getting that majority of possession than it would be in England because of the stylistic difference of the league. They're able to have patient possession and break down sides, whereas that's not how you beat City.
I think we've got to expect that one of the two managers is going to have to change something for the game. And I would doubt it would be Guardiola. And if Allegri gets it right, they're going to beat them. If he doesn't, then they're going to lose. So I genuinely think it could be down to something as small as that.
Well, it could be a case where, you know, against Liverpool, where he played Laporte at left-back, for example, like Kompany at centre-back. And Kompany sort of kept Firmino at Well, he was lucky to be on the pitch, to be fair to him. He kept Liverpool's attackers like at bay.
Yeah, but it was interesting that when he'd done that the year before in the quarterfinal stage, where he put Laporte at left back. Laporte had argued, I think, the worst game I've seen him play in a Man City.
But it's a different thing where it's like that was early at City. Pep's players get better at doing those sort of weird Pep moves. The longer they're with Pep,
like Delph at left back.
Yeah, they get better at doing it once because what Pep wants from all his positions is really weird. Like, he basically wants his fullbacks to be defensive midfielders and stuff like that.
It's Johan Cruyff, basically.
Yeah, I think football, you know, it's a great game when we can barely call it and we have to have 10 minutes basically arguing about why we think minute details might make the difference.
Yeah.
This is what the Champions League, I think, is all about in terms of if these are the semi finals. In my opinion, these are the four best teams in Europe,
yeah,
and that's exactly what it should be.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And it's good that there's two English teams in there as well.
Yeah. It's showing that the money is actually starting to pay off
eventually.
Yeah.
It's just always where you actually have to start spending money smartly at some point, which is City and Liverpool both learned. You have to actually start spending it smartly.
Yeah.
As opposed to just throwing it at guys like Joe Allen.
Man United, hopefully for them, might start if they can get
an actual director of football and not have Edward Wood doing it. Yeah.
Okay, so I've gone Juventus. Latif, do you go Juventus as well?
Yeah.
Joe, you still making your mind?
Wait, what's Callum going to go for?
Yeah.
City. Okay, I'll make it even and go City that way.
Okay, so we're completely.
Yeah, we'll look better. Brilliant. This happens.
Brilliant. We're completely split. We've got no clue on which way this one's going to go, but it could go either way. Let's look then at the other semi-final leg very quickly because we sort of get building towards what a final could be. But I guess by this point we could say it could be any of the four teams in the final. Liverpool versus Barcelona in this one. Oh God!
this is all good.
I'm not looking past it.
I mean, especially
if they beat United, who have some great form right now.
Yeah.
And even though Liverpool, player for player, are better, probably they're a better team. I'd say so. Just about.
Mm. Defensively, we're much better.
I mean, I think attacking as well, really.
I just think Messi just counts.
Before
so
all the Man United fans like attacking us in the comments, we'll move on from like, are we Liverpool better than Man United? But just to quickly,
I bet
Man United better than Barcelona.
No, I'll say Man United.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about Barcelona.
That's what I was thinking. Oh no. Oh yeah. I mean, there are a couple of spots where I take United, but like.
No, on the whole, I'd say.
Yeah, I think maybe.
Maybe the goalkeeper.
Yeah, definitely on the whole.
Maybe Pogba if you could fit him in somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely ahead of like.
Vijnaldum's probably the analogous one there.
Stelion, do not insult Genie. I've been loving him this season. I'd say maybe Hendo. Keita will be fine.
Keita, once he actually gets his back sorted.
Once his back's fixed, which is also the thing with Trent Alexander-Arnold now potentially being.
See, the thing with this game, back on Liverpool Barcelona, where both teams are really, really good at home. So it just depends. I think Liverpool would win at home, and I think Barcelona would win at home. It's just who's going to win by more.
Who's going to get an away goal?
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. It's like, I can't see Liverpool smashing Barcelona. I reckon they max out a 2-goal margin against Barcelona. But as Barcelona have shown, they can absolutely smash anyone at home.
Yeah, they are.
So that's the key thing there, which is they could just have another game where Messi just is like, nah, we're just going to win, or Suarez has just an absolute blinder against his old team or something like that.
It's a weird one, because Liverpool haven't played Barcelona in a really, really long time, so I don't really know what...
That's just what I was literally just...
I don't know if Messi's ever played against Liverpool, but I mean, I don't think that makes much difference.
Yeah, I mean, Messi is just...
You never know.
The greatest of all time.
I mean, I'm just actually... I had thought I'm just also a...
But, you know, we're not Real Betis. He's not going to get as much space.
But,
as
I mean, who's...
He usually does.
Sorry, with the lineup, I'm just trying to remember with this. Will this mean that Liverpool have the game at Anfield first,
I don't know.
I'm trying to remember from the way that they did the draw confusingly beforehand. I think Liverpool might have the first one and then Barcelona's
second. Which would be the worst orientation for Liverpool?
Probably away second.
I think it is.
Yeah, if it's...
I mean, I'm totally not booking
for that's much time. Better for Barcelona than
yeah, I would rather New Camp Anfield because we can
look and because and try it's the same thing it's the same dynamic as the Lyon match where, you know, it was very tight, very close in the first leg in Lyon, but then Barcelona in the second leg they just take care of business.
Again,
you know, it's a good game and you can barely call it. I think
Liverpool will be at home second leg.
Second leg, oh.
Ooh.
That's
so,
the thing that makes it. I feel like it's fairly simply going to be Barcelona, but that is the only sort of thing that throws a wrench into that for me.
not totally, totally not planning on. We've got to get through to that stage first, Jeremy. looking at that one, I mean, the thing is with Barcelona, we talked about them obviously when we were talking about Man United. They are in their own transition, but like we've said in the past, they are sort of getting their transition right. They're aging out. They're veterans of the Guardiola era. Veterans of that Guardiola era, such as your PKs and your
Busquets.
I don't know why.
Jordi Alba's.
Yeah,
he's kind of in the middle where it's like you got to get rid of him. Or you got to replace him relatively soon, but not like now. Like the Busquets and PK.
They're rebuilding enough that it's actually you can see they're
rebuilding on the fly. In part because of having Ousmane Dembele already, in part because of having Messi, in part because of having some of these guys. They can do it in full flight, opposed to having being like Bayern, where it's like, oh my god.
I don't see Barca as having a lot of heart though. Like I'm just thinking back to the Roma game. As soon as Roma got a bit of momentum, Barcelona just caved completely. You don't associate Barcelona with a team that goes down and then comes back with like famous comeback. I can't think of any real apart. Oh wait, the PSG one. Yeah, but apart from that one.
Well, part of it for me is the same thing I was saying Ronaldo, where it's like they don't need to. So like.
But Messi, if he doesn't turn up, they are terrible. They are going to lose.
Yeah.
So it's like just as dependent on whether Messi's going to turn up for Barcelona.
But there is a case where if Messi plays at 60 or 70%, he's still the best player on the pitch.
Yeah, Messi 100%.
Messi turning up is so rare. Messi turning up is so rare. It is once in a blue moon.
So I think.
It will be very much a case of I suspect that Robertson just has to like sit on him for the whole match and just try.
But then, even then, he'll float around. He moves where it works, which is the problem there. So he'll just be like, okay, John Matip, you're playing. I'm going for you.
Oh, God.
But they haven't won if we play Matip in like 3 or 4 years, I think. So something stops him every time.
Well, most of the time that was Real Madrid magic, wasn't it?
Yeah. Is City Juventus going to beat them in the final?
Are we saying that we think, unfortunately, this is going to be probably where Liverpool's run ends? I'm of the opinion that probably this could be where it runs. It depends how what the first leg score is. If Liverpool are only behind by one goal, you never know at Anfield.
You don't. To be fair,
Liverpool have never lost a two-legged tie under Klopp. In fact, Klopp hasn't. Yeah, so in Europe, not in the Europa League, not in the Champions League. So, I mean, he's only had two runs at it, but it's still quite impressive.
It has to happen at some point. Like you have to lose at some point.
Well, hang on, in the Europa League when we had him, we got to the final then. I think.
Yeah. So we've had two runs and we haven't lost a two-legged tie under Klopp. He does tend to pull things out. And suddenly,
like you have to at some point. You can't just say that forever. At some point, they will lose two legs.
Oh my god, Callum! I know things end.
Things end, but also things start. And okay, because I'm conscious of time a little bit. What are we thinking? Barcelona or Liverpool? Just going quick around.
Yeah, Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Sorry, guys.
I wouldn't even be that upset.
I think Barcelona.
I think it'll be the perfect narrative final where it'll be City, Barca, Pep against Barcelona, blah, blah, blah.
You and I are saying that. We thought of that.
Or Ronaldo, Messi.
Oh, yeah, I think that's what will happen.
So. If it's Ronaldo, Messi, the press will have a blooming field day.
I bet they'll both have terrible
and no one
games
will,
as well.
And they're, no one will
go. We'll have to go to Madrid.
Yeah. Go and watch it. Yeah. Go and watch that. So I was thinking that was it 8-9?
It was
the
Rome
United.
Final, wasn't it? It was Man United versus Barca then, I think.
And Messi managed to score a header.
Yeah, Ronaldo just...
God, I remember that.
Had about 50 shots in that game.
Yeah, because it's just like he's...
But that was before Ronaldo, Messi.
So it's looking at being Barcelona versus either City or Juventus, one of those two, because that one is too tight. I don't really know if we're going to be able to feasibly call it. If it is City, who do we think would win that?
City,
I think. You go for City with that, Latif?
Yeah.
Barcelona. Callum? I think Barcelona could win the whole thing.
Okay, fair. Joe?
Oh, jeez. I will hedge for my bets, and I'll go for Barcelona, just because I'd rather they win it.
I really don't want Ronaldo winning it this year.
Actually, you know what? I actually really want it to be Barcelona to win that, because I really want City to repeat by Leverkusen.
Oh, that would be horrible.
That would be horrible. Brilliant. They'd be in the
Losing everything.
Losing every single final that they could do. Every trick they could, apart from obviously
coming in second and everything.
That's sorry. Awful.
That would be fun.
That would be hilarious.
Like a City Wolves FA Cup final as well. Wolves or Brighton, is it?
So be Wolves.
I will expect so. And Juventus versus City, if it's that way around. Which way?
Juventus versus Barcelona, you mean?
Sorry, Juventus. we've already been over Juventus City for ages. It's still stuck in my mind. Juventus, Barcelona. I think for that, I'd go Barcelona. I just would. I don't know why. I just would.
I'd still say Barcelona. Because
Cam's going Barcelona as well.
Barcelona. Yeah, against Juve, Barcelona.
I think Barcelona as well.
So a more interesting final, we think, would be Barcelona versus City.
Yeah, I think
that would be more interesting for sure, 100%.
And there'll be all the narrative around it.
I think it'd
it.
Go to 120 minutes.
Yeah, I think that would go all the way.
I wouldn't be too surprised.
But at the end, we'd have Pep and Messi hugging, depending on which one's got the medal on.
I might mute that commentary.
They fell out at the end, didn't they?
They'll do it for the symbolism.
I'm sure they will.
Well, anyway, that's then our predicted route for how we think the UCL will go. We've hedged our bets on a couple of those, but we've given predictions to how we think alternative scenarios would go for it. We might. Sorry if you tuned expecting our Europa League lineup. We have already been going for a fair bit amount of time, so if we have time, we'll do a Europa League run through and see how we think that one's going to go. We're pretty certain that Chelsea will get through their next round, but it's more interesting if you're an Arsenal fan. I think it's safe to say with that tie against Napoli. That's going to bring an end to this episode of Bail Me Out. Thank you very much to the team, Cam and Joe, for joining me, and we will be back very soon. Thank you very much for listening.